This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Well, he's in great shape. I think we can see that. And, you know, certainly has had the pedigree, the performance to take a step forward. And I think he's had some health frustrations the last couple of years that hopefully don't happen this year. So I would very, very bullish on him and expect a great season from him.
So that was Mike Elias before the season talking about Grayson Rodriguez, and this was probably a couple weeks ago. They had high hopes for Grayson Rodriguez, and now after yesterday's sluggishness, Brandon Hyde has just told the media in the last 15 minutes Grayson Rodriguez has tricep soreness. He's being evaluated. He said, quote, "There's always concern. I'm concerned every day right now with everybody, but in this case, we'll have more information tomorrow." And I think it's fair to say that Bone and I are very frustrated, and I think it's also fair to say that Jason's very angry about this.
Something I was thinking about during the break, and unfortunately during spring training, not all of these stadiums have StatCast data like when they were playing yesterday at Fort Myers, and his velocity was down in that first start. And you wonder how down it was and if he was dealing with this in that first start, because you're kind of almost getting Kyle Bradish flashbacks. Would it surprise you if he was dealing with anything in that first start?
He said he had a garbage bullpen and they let him pitch a fake game and they pulled him after 33 pitches and they never had an explanation for it. Never gave you any sort of update. The manager who got to the ballpark late laughed it off and sloughed it off and said it sounded fine on the radio. And then they went underground for 24 hours. There's nothing professional grade about any of that.
Hey, they told us now.
But it comes, and I said this yesterday, 2 to 3 weeks after Kyle Bradish said, yeah, they let me go. I was pitching through all kinds of pain. I never felt right. And then it got to a point where my arm broke and I had to have Tommy John surgery. So is it all interconnected, Bone? Oh, absolutely. I said yesterday, here's the portal that I'm going to look at this through. The way they handled all these situations, Tyler Wells, Felix, and even, like, why didn't he get the surgery sooner? They always know better. They're always smarter. They owe you no honesty. They owe you no transparency. Like, nothing's ever a thing till it is. And in the meantime, they build their club on hopes and dreams. They don't navigate and fortify for the worst case scenarios. They sell false hope. They sell everybody's going to always get better. They've got an excuse for everything, and they don't win in the playoffs.
Let me ask you a question, and I'm not trying to be a jerk here, but is there a team out there that is transparent and honest with their fans all the time?
I can't think of too many scenarios like what happened yesterday. And
yesterday was very bizarre.
I've covered professional sports for 30 years
at
all levels.
And I'm not trying to work.
In the American Hockey League in 1994, if Mike Pekka had an injury like that, and he's a top prospect for the Vancouver Canucks, and I'm covering the Syracuse Crunch, and they handled it that way, I would have been like, and I didn't know much when I was then, whatever I was, a sophomore in college, I would have been like, geez, this seems really bush league. Yeah. Like, this seems really weird. Like, let me call George McPhee, who was the assistant GM of the Vancouver Canucks, who would have been at Syracuse Crunch games all the time. George, what? Really? What's going? And I couldn't have texted him then because there was no texting. I couldn't have sent an email, and he didn't have a cell phone.
Yeah,
I would have had to call his office in Vancouver and say, Mike Pekka left the game yesterday, and we got no updates, and nobody said anything about it. And it's 24 hours later. What's going on? It would have been bad business then. There.
I agree, and I'm not trying to work you up.
You're
but,
doing it.
But you didn't answer my question. Like, is there a team out there that is transparent and honest all the time with their fans?
I don't mean transparent. I'm not saying you got to say everything. Stop taking people for fools.
Okay, that's fair.
Stop taking people for utter and complete fools. Do you understand this market? Do you know that just because we haven't won a World Series since 1983, we know what the hell we're looking at? When your ace can't throw 90 miles an hour regularly against the Twins in February or March, don't you dare try to, and we called them out in real time.
Yes.
Don't you dare send your manager out there and handle it as flippantly and cavalier as that and then sit on it for 24 hours. It's pathetic. It should be beneath them, but it's totally on brand.
410-583-1057. A lot of frustration in this room. Are you frustrated? The thoughts from the people about this Grayson Rodriguez situation. He has tricep soreness. This is a day after he said he was just sluggish. I think one of the keys there is who was there to stop him from talking to the media yesterday? Like, he should not have spoken to the media
yesterday. It is a Bush League operation right now.
Like, that's...
Because that was my small tinge of optimism, because covering sports, that generally
And I
speaking,
said at the time, yeah. Who would tell them not to?
Generally speaking, players are not made available if they are hurt.
Generally speaking, yeah. The manager's at the games, the manager's seen the whole games, and if he hasn't, he's going to talk to somebody who did to learn a little something about what he missed before he has the audacity and temerity to talk to the media.
I like temerity.
Temerity's a good word.
Also, Andrew Kitcher's knee is being discussed regarding treatment options. More info tomorrow. As we mentioned, he's getting second and third opinions. That's never good. So I don't know when the hell he's going to be pitching for this team.
But they added a second. No, they didn't. No, they're going to sell you Dominguez, who the Phillies was a salary dump for them. That's what it was. It was a salary dump. And also, it's funny. I was listening to over the weekend them on the radio while I was walking the dog, and they had the assistant GM on, and she was bragging about, well, you know, these weren't just rentals. We like these guys because they had more than 1 year on their contract. Soto and Dominguez. When they cut them in season this year. I trust me, that's what I'll be thinking of. That day I was walking the dogs in the cold in late February, listening to this in real time, puking on my shoes because I'm like, you got played. And like, remember who else they sold? Oh, it's not a rental. We can control them for years. It was Cole Irvin 2.0.
Yeah,
Rodgers.
Who, guess what? He might pitch this year. Because I got a newsflash for you. Grayson ain't the only one getting hurt. And they did nothing to fortify the top end.
Well, Rodgers is hurt already.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to miss a lot of time.
410-583-1057. Let's get Chris in Parkville. Chris, you're on the fan.
Gentlemen, great show as always.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I'm with Jason and you guys. I think the timing in which this has happened, and the player who usually gets dinged up during the season at this time, at this juncture, and handling it like that was really, really interesting, to say the least.
Yeah. And Chris, appreciate the call. Interesting is a good word, because there's so much about this. And again, Jason and I, our minds work different. I don't get as angry as he does. I don't think he's wrong to be angry, just to be fair. But yesterday was bizarre. It, like, the whole thing, the Brandon Hyde's late to the game, and he can't comment on it, and they let Grayson talk, and they let him pitch. Like, the fact of the matter is,
fired Freddie Gonzalez, who actually knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
They let him continue to pitch after the 89.5 mile per hour four-seamer that got hit to the wall. He faced two more batters after that. He faced two more batters, hit someone, then got pulled.
But if people still want to trust them after multiple blown off seasons, multiple blown trade deadlines, multiple blown handling of sensitive pitching situations, by all means, do it. But boy, we see things differently.
Let's leave it here. Their possible number one starter, Grayson Rodriguez, probably won't be on the opening day roster. Their big offseason bullpen pickup who was probably going to be the co-closer at times, Andrew Kittredge, probably not going to be on the opening day roster. And their best everyday player, who was an MVP candidate, Gunnar Henderson, probably not on the opening day roster.
And they let their opening day starter from last year walk without putting up a fight, even though they weren't going to sign anybody else to anything more than a one-year deal. And especially in light of Gunnar being out, they let their most impactful hitter, who was a switch hitter, go to a division rival for pennies on the dollar and didn't put up any fight there either. Okay. Keep rolling with them.
So we'll get to Twib Notes next, and we'll hear from Corbin Burns, who is now on a new team. We'll hear from Tristan Cassis, and we'll hear from Brian Cashman. It's Twib Notes next here on the...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Fan.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everyone knows it takes more than just five guys to get their season for starters. So the depth we have, the quality of arms we have at the top are awesome. And we're only a few weeks here into camp, but just getting able to talk to those guys and kind of see what makes them tick a little bit. Obviously, every pitcher is different, but just to kind of take small tips you can here or there, pass it on to the young guys that they have here. It's been a good group so far and excited to get going.
That's Corbin Burns. You remember Corbin Burns, don't you? Old friend, Oriole for life, pitched here in Baltimore a year ago.
What I wouldn't give to sign up for 18 outs of old Corbin Burns right about now.
Man, that used to make you angry.
Wonder what he really would have been worth here.
24 more starts.
But he did sign a long-term deal with the Diamondbacks, and he talks about being part of a great rotation in Arizona, Jason.
Yeah, look, it's not that long ago that the Orioles and the Diamondbacks were the upstarts of the AL and the NL, and one of them broke through and went really far in the playoffs, and the other one still trying to win their first playoff game in how long?
Yeah.
I think he'll be great out there. I think he will be more comfortable there than he was here. I think it's back in the National League. It's close to his family. They obviously just had the twins. I don't think he ever wanted to be a Baltimore Oriole. I don't think he ever thought in his wildest dreams he would be a Baltimore Oriole. And I think he was counting down the days to free agency from the moment that the Orioles acquired him. You want to know why I know it? Because he pretty much said it when they got him, and he absolutely said it right around August of last year.
Hey, so in that one, was it New York Post article or whatever, where he was looking at other farm
the
systems?
Athletic.
And, yeah. Looking,
Post
and
Athletic are the same umbrella now, yeah.
No.
The New York Times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Post is a completely different animal.
Yes. Yeah. And you could go back and listen to the press conference when he signed here, where he didn't want to say he wanted nothing to do with a long-term deal, and they wanted nothing to do with a long-term deal because they knew exactly what they were getting when they got him.
Well, they don't like one-year rental. They don't like long-term deals. They're kind of allergic to them.
They don't believe in them.
Even when they give one out, Tyler O'Neill, they put a pill in there that basically says
conscientious objectors.
Yeah, if you're good, you're going to opt out.
We'll do a real contract, kicking and screaming.
Yeah.
You have no idea how many guys have to get hurt before we do something like that.
So, would you rather hear Tristan Casas on Rafael Devers being the Red Sox third baseman, or Brian Cashman on Giancarlo Stanton?
I want to hear Tristan Casas. Well, I hear Beltway Ben says it's gold.
All right, Beltway Ben, let's hear it.
I think it's Rafael Devers' position. I think he's the third baseman, and at that point, that's where it stands. And he's done it for a really long time now. And I think he's only getting better at that position. His defense is
not
getting better every single year. We don't know what the future holds, but we know it holds Rafael Devers. So I think he's got to play defense. It's going to keep him athletic, and he's going to hit because of him being at third base. He doesn't know any other position. He doesn't want to play any other position, and he's going to fight for it, even if it's with any of the younger guys, any new guy. I think he's the best third baseman in the league. I wouldn't take him. I wouldn't take anybody over him. So I think he should play third base. Yeah.
Can we?
You think Bregman should play second? Rafi plays third.
I think Bregman should play second base. Yeah. I think he's going to make the transition well. I think he's athletic enough too, and I think Trevor, is going to play an awesome shortstop.
What's interesting about that is every metric says that Rafael Devers is a horrible third baseman, but the Tristan Casas defensive metrics are kind of like the JLC MVP. Like they go against the grain, where everyone else says one thing. He's saying that he thinks Rafael Devers is the best third baseman in baseball.
I got to see how much service time this kid has. Like this kid has been in the major leagues for a hot minute. Like 30 seconds, he's been hurt most of the time he's been here. He's been featured in trade rumors forever because of stuff like that. Because he cannot get out of his own way because he can't stop talking. He says whatever he wants. He has no semblance of understanding of his pecking order in that clubhouse or what's within the bounds and what's outside the bounds. I mean, I love him, and I'm almost starting to think, remember when we had the Ben Roethlisberger weekly update? We may need to have this week in Tristan Casas because Lord knows what they're asking him and Lord knows what he's saying. I'm just not sure how long it's going to be in Boston because I think that Devers is going to end up at first base at some point in time. And I think part of the reason we just heard that spiel is because Tristan Casas knows that too.
Yes.
And when that happens, those trade rumors are going to go from rumor to reality. And he's not probably going to be in a market as big as Boston. He's not going to be the cult hero wherever he goes there like he is here. And he's also going to have real expectations on him, but that was something.
Dude, he went full-blown Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
GM. That was crazy.
Yeah, he knows his roster, that's for damn sure. Who knows the Yankees roster? Brian Cashman, and he's got a situation with his DH Giancarlo Stanton. He talks about it.
Yeah, I think it was 3 weeks before camp. So ultimately, he was dealing with it in the end of last year, and obviously thought we were in a good place, and I think he was feeling like in a good place, but then it reared its ugly head, about 3 weeks before camp, and is my understanding, and so now we're dealing with it. So, give it the time it needs, and, clearly look forward to getting him back at some point, but obviously in the near term, that won't be the case.
Surgery ever discussed in this? I think that's could be a 2 or 3 month recovery for that.
It'd be a last resort. It's always, again, like everything else you approach you approach things with, I can't rule out a surgery, but I know it's not recommended in the front end of this thing, but obviously if you have a number of different failed attempts, then obviously then you start looking at different ways of intervention.
So Giancarlo Stanton, and to his credit, he was great in the playoffs. But,
hell yeah.
But,
a whole lot better than Aaron Judge.
Yeah, but he's got issues in both arms, and it doesn't sound like he's coming back anytime soon. And this is on the heels of Luis Gil probably missing at least 3 months.
Yeah, so they're going to be without Soto. They're going to be without Stanton in that lineup probably for a good part of the foreseeable future. And the depth of their starting rotation is starting to be compromised. So things are rough all over in the AL East. It's still a really good rotation, but like, boy, Max Fried, right? I mean, he tends to see the IL. Garrett Cole
got hurt last year.
Yeah. We'll see. A lot of innings in that arm. Rodon's had his ups and downs. But that Stanton stuff sounds ominous. Because let's face it, he goes under the knife and misses 3 months. Like, if a normal person's back from that surgery in 3 months, what's it for him with all of his issues?
Tack on another month.
Right? Right? So, yeah, like, things are tough all over in the AL East, I guess. But that's going to be a very different Yankees team. It's obviously a very different Yankees lineup. I'm not a big Goldschmidt guy. I think their superpower has got to be their rotation and their pen.
Could he be better than what they had at first base a year ago, Goldschmidt?
Of course.
Yeah, that's like,
gotta be.
Yes.
But they lost Soto and they lost Stanton. Yes. I don't know that he's chipping away at that.
No, I hear you.
A whole lot. And I still want the Luis Gil thing. I think he's going to end up in the pen. He's pitched so few innings. We chronicled that last year through the minors, everything else. He said such a weird ascent, late bloomer. Like, I just wonder if that becomes a bullpen arm for them.
Coming up next, we head down to Sarasota. Matt Weirich covers the O's for the Baltimore Sun. We'll ask him his concern level for Grayson Rodriguez next here on The Fan. Well, it's been a wild 24 hours for the Baltimore Orioles. They're getting ready to take on the Pittsburgh Pirates, 6 o'clock preseason or spring training baseball. Let's head down to Florida and go to the Window Nation fan guest hotline. Matt Weirich covers the O's for the Baltimore Sun. Joins us now. And Matt, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. So, we are a three-hour flight away from where we sit. It's been a weird day, and just to go through the timeline quickly. Yeah, weird 24 hours. Grayson Rodriguez says he wasn't feeling great in the pen. They let him pitch. His velocity was down. After the game, he says he felt sluggish, but he's okay. Brandon Hyde's an hour late for the game. He didn't get to see him pitch, so he didn't really comment after the game. Now today, he's got some tricep soreness. Just your thoughts on all of this.
Yeah, certainly a convoluted situation here. Obviously, when Rodriguez was putting out the velocity readings that he had yesterday, there was a base level of concern. You never want to see that from a guy who's, you know, averaging 96 last year, throwing 93.5 in that start with even an 89.5 mile per hour fastball, which felt like the most telling pitch to me. Mm-hmm. That something was at least up. I mean, he wasn't throwing at 100% velocity, but certainly, you know, coming out saying you're feeling sluggish, that there obviously was a chance that there was something more to it than that. He comes out today, tricep soreness being evaluated. So I think the concern level is up at this point. It's all kind of up in the air. We're not going to get a concrete update on what exactly is going on until tomorrow. But, you know, he came into camp trying to tweak his mechanics, take some pressure off of his lat, which is obviously what has cost him several months, two of the last three seasons. Getting used to that, trying to temper his velocity early in camp after coming in throwing 100 on day one. So, you know, this is or day one last year, I should say. So, you know, he's making a lot of changes this year to try and prepare himself for a long season. And I don't know if it will all at once just kind of happening, but there's a lot of layers to this right now, and we're just going to have to wait and see.
We were flabbergasted, honestly, by Brandon Hyde's response to this yesterday. And albeit, as Ken said, we're detached here, but like, for a kid who's of this much importance to the organization and one who is coming out and saying, yeah, I didn't feel right in the bullpen. Nothing was right there anyway. You know what I mean? We all know what he said. For him to leave after 33 pitches and for the manager not like to be that cavalier about it, and then I'm assuming Mike Elias or Sig or other people were there. Like, are you sort of surprised that, like, that's how they handled this?
I think that, you know, it's just so early that right now with a lot of time left before the season, they didn't want to jump to anything. I mean, they're obviously dealing with Gunnar Henderson's situation right now. Andrew Kittredge is hurt. So to pile a Grayson Rodriguez injury on top of it, you know, it was probably something that, you know, maybe you see how he feels the next day and kind of go from there. So, you know, with Hyde getting there in the middle of the game, certainly a tough ask to have all of the information that he needed right at that point. But certainly, you know, expecting to get more of some concrete answers here by tomorrow.
The thing that jumped out to me, Matt, was A, you already knew that he wasn't feeling well during the bullpen, but why was he allowed to face two more batters after giving up that double on the 89.5 mile per hour pitch? Like, that's alarm should really be going off after that.
Yeah, I mean, they, like you said, they knew that going into the outing that he wasn't feeling right, so maybe they thought it was just a mechanical thing. You know, I don't know what Grayson was telling the coaches exactly about how he was feeling, if he was just saying it was a mental thing, just saying it was a mechanical thing. You know, he said it felt like the game was speeding up on him. So, you know, what exactly was said between those two sides, can't know for sure. Athletes love to compete, and they don't want to have to go off the field until they're told not to. So, you know, maybe there's a layer to that. I don't really know. I don't want to speculate too much, but certainly it's something that I think we're going to get more answers on as things kind of unfold here.
Talking to Matt Weirich, it's Inside Access here on the Fan. Matt, you alluded to Andrew Kittredge. It sounds like he's getting second and third opinions. That's usually because the first opinion's not good. So that, and he's the one major bullpen addition. That's kind of ominous, the second and third opinion thing.
Yeah, and also because Brandon Hyde has indicated he would be in the saves mix with Felix Bautista not going to be pitching on back-to-back days or more than one inning at a time, at least in this first half. So certainly they had high hopes for him this year, being a right-handed option to kind of complement some of the lefties that they've got in the back end that they're excited about. But this is going to put more of an onus on you know, some other guys like Yennier Cano, who his righty-lefty splits really became stark last year. Sir Anthony Dominguez certainly has had ups and downs throughout his career and just his Orioles tenure. So it's not ideal. Certainly it's the guy that they brought in to be a major piece of their bullpen. But, you know, right now, like you said, when they're getting second opinions, it's usually not a good sign.
Gunnar. anytime somebody, it seemed to be from the tenor of questions, and you were there and we weren't, that's sort of the whole specter of, you know, opening day roster, maybe, maybe not, seemed to kind of come from them. And anytime we're barely into March and you got someone dropping injury news on you and saying, oh, yeah, and we're very, very hopeful he's on the opening day roster. I don't know. I've been doing this a long time. That tells me there's a very real chance this person is not ready for the opening day roster. Just sort of your sense of the progress of this from a nothing burger tweak to where it stands now.
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, Hyde was asked yesterday point blank, do you feel good about him making the opening day roster? And that's when he said the very, very hopeful quote. So it wasn't okay. It wasn't an automatic yes. It wasn't a, you know, jumping to say that it's going to happen. Obviously didn't want to provide a guarantee. I think important context to know, an intercostal strain being those muscles within the ribs, typically if it's a grade one, which you don't know the exact grade of the strain, but it's been described as mild, typically that return for MLB players on average is between 21 and 25 days, which is pretty much right in line with when he suffered the injury and when opening day is. So he's certainly in the window, in my opinion, to get back in that time, just based on past history of players who've had the same injury without knowing exactly how bad it is. But I think it's just something that, you know, with it being 3 weeks away, do they want to say, yes, it's going to happen, then it not happen? No, but, you know, certainly it's not what you want to hear right now, that your star shortstop is not going to be 100% go for opening day.
The problem with the 21 to 25 days now, though, is he's not built up.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, that would be, yeah, like in season, and a guy like he hasn't even gotten his legs under him really yet, or I would think gotten nearly as far as much from a workload point as they would want, right? To start your season off an injury like that, having played so little before that, to me, would seem ambitious.
I agree. I think it's more important for pitchers than it is for position players to get kind of built up, per se, get their timing right. You can simulate that in live bullpens, I think, a little bit better as far as a game environment for a hitter. than you can for a pitcher. So I would feel better about him doing it than as opposed to, you know, a similar timeline for Grayson to be ready, because, you know, obviously the build up there at his arm and everything. So I honestly, if they he doesn't play another game in the Grapefruit League this spring and just comes back for opening day, I would not be super shocked, and I don't think that that should temper expectations really at all for him getting off to a good start, because I feel like those are things that you can kind of simulate on the backfield.
Well, Matt, hypothetically, let's just say he misses the first series of the first week of the season, and we know that Jorge Mateo is not going to be ready for opening day. Who's their shortstop?
Yeah, I mean, I think they have a lot of options here. You know, if you want a one-for-one replacement, that the next shortstop is probably Levon Soto. I don't know how likely it is that he would be their opening day shortstop. I think the most likely case is probably that Jordan Westberg would get moved over. You know, he's a natural shortstop anyway. His numbers have actually fared much better in the major leagues at second base than they have at third base, at least as far as the analytics go. He's an up-the-middle player, and I think that you know, he could certainly fill in there. And then you give Kobe Mayo potentially a shot early in the season to kind of come out at third base. I don't think they would want to move Jackson Holliday off of second. He spent so much time putting in work there, a guy who's a lot less proven than Westberg and still kind of get his legs under him in the major leagues. So I would imagine they don't want to mess with that, but like, he could move over to short as well. You know, there are a lot of natural shortstops in this organization. But, you know, they might be – you know, it might only be a quick thing, so maybe they don't want to bring up Mayo for just, you know, a week or two, only to send him back down. I don't know. There's a lot of layers to it, similar with a lot of these situations and all the guys that they have in camp right now because they haven't had to make all the cuts. So there's a lot of different ways they could go with it. But if I had to guess, I would probably say that Westberg moving over to short is probably the most likely plan A.
Matt Weirich covers the O's for the Baltimore Sun. We were just saying a few days ago, spring training's been boring. Well, not anymore.
No drama.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Skipper did make it to the ballpark tonight, we think.
He's good. He's here. There. All right. Confirmed site.
Hey, that's progress. Progress.
Thanks, Matt.
We're getting there.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Coming up next, T-Bone Time Take 2. It's TMI with TIM. And what is it that you got?
We can't shortchange Selden Miguel.
Never. Okay? Not on this show.
Selden Miguel is the Terps' big X factor. We'll explain on the other side.
It's T-Bone Time again. TMI with TIM. And the floor, hopefully for the whole segment, is yours.
Yeah, hopefully.
Could be some more breaking news.
There isn't any more injury updates? Negative.
Wait till the Ravens sign Ronnie Stanley to an extension during the segment. We blow it out again.
Yes. Kevin Willard really hit home runs in the portal. And all these guys had question marks, too. Jacoby Gillespie, how's he going to make the jump from Belmont? Rodney Rice, we know the injury history there. Not playing much basketball recently. Selden Miguel was sixth man of the year at the AAC last year. Now you can make the case, and I know it's tougher in a game like basketball with less players, but now you can make the case that Selden Miguel is the biggest X factor on this Terps team. Had a really nice night last night, 17 points, 7 of 13 from the floor, 3 of 7 from 3. And I went back and looked at Selden Miguel's stats in the Terps' 6 losses in conference, and his stats in the 13 wins. Selden Miguel, in their losses, averages 35.7% from the floor, 22.7% from 3. 22.7, 8.5 points per game. And
not so good.
We've joked earlier in the year, because he has been a lot more consistent, because the Terps have been winning a heck of a lot more in this recent stretch, but the Selden Miguel experience. We've seen him in breaks, fadeaway threes from the corner.
He's shooting at 24-hour fitness. Oh, he's a bad shot taker and a bad shot maker.
Yes, the double clutch at the end of the first half yesterday that somehow went in. But you look.
He's also about to officially become a friend of the show.
Yeah.
Yes. He is
looking forward
to that. By this time tomorrow, God willing.
He is set to join us tomorrow ahead of Senior Day. Him, Julian, and Geronimo. But in the 13 wins in conference, Selden Miguel, 46% from the floor, 49.3% from three. He's almost shooting 50% from three in the Terps' wins.
That's my quarterback.
And averages 13.6 points. And Ken, you gave the stat earlier. 17's been a lucky number for him recently, where
Yeah, he gets 17 in almost every win.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we know the bigs and Derek Queen and Julian going to get a lot of love. Gillespie and Roddy Rice is a sharp shooter, but you can make the case that Seldon Miguel is this biggest X factor. When he's shooting at that type of percentage, this Terps team is really tough to beat.
Well, look, and as much as, you know, Willard likes to joke about him, you know,
and he was getting
shooting rather than dribbling, he is someone else who at times will pump fake the three,
yeah,
dribble, hit the more sure intermediate shot. You've got Rodney Rice who can do the same thing. You've got a point guard who can run off screen shooting threes, who can set people up for threes, throw the ball to a spot, and they run to the spot. There's a lot of different ways they can attack you on the perimeter, but there's obviously no debating that when this guy is on, they can put 90 on anybody.
Think about this.
Almost anybody. They ain't putting 90 on Sparty.
No.
Probably not putting 90 on Texas A&M.
Last night, he scored 10 straight Terps points.
St. John's.
Against,
that would be tough.
Against Penn State, he had a stretch where he went on an 8-0 scoring run himself. It's just he has that in him. And Kevin Willard, catch and shoot, he loves it with Seldon Miguel.
Well, and look, I've got to give Willard a lot of credit for how this thing has come together, and the way they have built this chemistry and camaraderie and understanding. And I thought it was very telling after last night's game, because we know a lot of what Selt does is clearly off script.
Yes.
It's not drawn up that way.
No.
When he said, look, this was a tight game. We know we had our struggles in tight games on the road before. And my guys, during the timeouts, were like, stop drawing up plays. We got this. We know what we need to do. And Willard's like, I laid out, and it's more fun that way. And I let them, you know, I let them try it their way. And it worked.
And I got to give Jason credit. I think it was the first game that was on TV, the Mount St. Mary's game. That's my guy. That guy looks like he's 36. My guy.
I do love Willard teasing him about dribbling. He's like, Sel, you shoot anytime you want, but please don't dribble.
I remember the Rutgers game when I was engineering. I could hear Willard, Sel, shoot. Like he's screaming to him, shoot the ball with like 7 seconds.
Well, I have said repeatedly this year, for a team that shoots this well, I often think they didn't take enough threes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I like threes mostly within the confines of the offense.
Don't take it 5 seconds.
Not Jacoby running 35 feet with the ball in his hands and then immediately pulling up and taking one from 5 feet behind the top of the key.
Hey, that was a segment worth waiting for, Bob.
Yeah.
It was better the second time.
It was. You got off to a rough start, and it was good that news came out that we could kill it, because then you had time to really
restart.
Yeah, you had time
hit
to
hit the refresh button.
You polished it a little bit. Yeah,
gussy it up.
Yeah,
I saw you working on it during the break, commercial breaks. I could see
you go in there with Ben, and he gave you some tips. Is that what happened?
That's exactly what happened.
Nice, good job, Ben. I thought I felt your imprint on that segment. Good job, Beltway Ben. Oh, and of course, Bone as well. Coming up next, though, Terps, they won a big game at Michigan. They won two straight on the road after that brutal loss to Michigan State. We'll talk to Chris Nockey about it. He was on the call last night on 105.7, the Fan Terps Radio Network, with Johnny Holiday on the Terps win. Get his thoughts on that and on Saturday and the Big Ten tournament and beyond. Chris joins us next.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.